we want to make this app for the entire family, but we don't want to put the HBO name on it, because when you think HBO, you think Game of Thrones and people having sex with dragons and the like.
And now what they're learning is there's nothing wrong with having sex with dragons.
If you know, you know. We love to interrupt, spreading the game show love every week on 5n1.net. Jason,
it's too fucking hot for this.
Yes, it is. I have my AC on full blast. I've got a ceiling fan. I got a neck fan. I got a desk fan. I'm surrounded by fans, basically.
So then you could guess you say you were a member of the Fanatics Club.
I guess you could say I'm an OnlyFans model.
Oh, good God, no. No, no, and no. So this is the BS off-season edition number 514, because we're actually going to be doing a couple of shows over the next month in August.
Yeah.
Before we do our draft special and pickup, but we have to catch up on stuff. That, of course, is Chico Alexander. I'm Jason Block. And our, of course, our third is our sound, well, our sound guy and our friend from the North Coast, Ian McClinn.
Greetings from the North Coast. Good evening, gentlemen. It's a far cry from 6 months ago, is it not? And I've been tinkering over, and I think I may have gotten the soundboard fixed. Let me play a little sound here just to try things out.
That works.
Yep.
And sounds like it's working, and only fitting since there is late-breaking news, and I don't mean of the positive kind.
No,
this is this was absolutely awful. Yesterday, we're not going to mention the guy's name because, well, not worthy. A man went into the building that houses the NFL headquarters and killed a security guard, a police officer, and a few others before ending his own life. Now, the reason why we're bringing this up is because one of the persons who passed away was an NFL employee. I have to pull this up, and we'll get to that in a hot second. But
I have the details here, and it all comes in a statement issued by one Roger Goodell, sent to league employees tonight. It reads, "NFL colleagues, I want to take a moment to reach out to you all following yesterday's tragic events. Our hearts go out to all of the victims and their families, and we are deeply grateful for the first responders and medical staff who acted so quickly and continue to provide care. Our thoughts and prayers were made especially with our colleague who was impacted. He is currently surrounded by family and members of the NFL community, and we are all continuing to hope for and support his full recovery. For those of you based in our New York office, please plan to work remotely at least through the end of next week, August 8th. The office will remain closed during this time, and we ask that you do not attempt to enter the building until we confirm that it is ready for us to return. Thank you to all of you for the compassion, care, and support you are showing to one another right now. It means so much to see how our team is pulling together. In the midst of this difficult time, we hold on to hope and optimism for healing and brighter days ahead.
Which actually was a, you know what? Gotta give Goodell props. That's a good statement. I don't know if he wrote it, but yes, right?
Right.
Now, here's the interesting part. The shooter claimed in, I believe, a manifesto that was either in his car or online, I forget where, that football, that he was a professional football player and has CTE.
Now, he is not a professional football player. He never played in the NFL, but he did play contact sports in high school. He's blamed the NFL for concealing the dangers of the sport, especially in regards to chronic traumatic encephalopathy.
However, here's the question. If I remember my, you know, documentary, and of course Nikki has it, and there's a great PBS documentary on this. I forget the name of it. I'll look it up. PBS documentary CTE, which is, it's called League of Denial. Okay. League of Denial. And it is online if you want to take a check at it. Okay. I don't remember exactly when it was put up. I believe it was 6 years ago. Okay. But isn't CTE proven when you're dead, not alive?
Yes, that is a full cranial sort of examination. So if you want to prove CTE, you have to be dead.
By the way, that documentary premiered 12 years ago. And believe me, 12 years ago, they've done a long, deep dive into CTE. And we also know, and again, from our wrestling, the Chris Nowinski, the, I forget the name of it, the foundation he runs, that has done a lot of research, and helmets have changed and a lot of stuff. You know what I'm saying?
They've done a lot of science in the 12 years since the release of League of Denial. Of course, this is one of those studies that is in real time and ongoing. So,
the Concussion Legacy Foundation is actually which he is.
Yes.
And the Sports Legacy Institute. It's now the Concussion Legacy Foundation, formerly known as the Sports Legacy Institute. It's now, that's a new name for it. But can we also just say that this guy was just batshit crazy?
There is something definitely wrong with him. What caused that remains to be seen. And I'm not going to sit here and either deny his concerns nor confirm his concerns. I will simply say, this is a man who honestly believed that he was in need of help.
Yes. Okay.
So that's where we are in terms of the events of the last 48 hours in New York City.
And we will continue to follow this. Absolutely.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Without, you know, I mean, there's no way to hard transition to this. We have a lot of training camp news, and Ian, you have brought the fire, yes?
Yes, I think I have.
What do you got for us?
Let's see, for training camp. I'm going to start with the, let me pull it up here. Oh, yes, the people who changed addresses. I have it right here. I think I'll start with the Browns. They have Joe Flacco. He's currently number one on the depth chart, a free agent.
Really?
Like the Colts last year, and they also signed Kenny Pickett. They got him in a trade. They got Ken Pickett in trade. He's lining up to be the backup, and Dylan Gabriel and Shador are battling for third. And Tevin Jenkins, a free agent from Chicago, has been signed. He is second on the depth chart behind Joel Petonio, and the Browns still have Posit and Teller, Conklin, and of course, Jerome Ford at running back, and the number one wide receiver so far.
Here comes the judge. Here comes the judge.
Order the court.
Jerry Jeudy and Cedric Tillman and Deontay Johnson, they also signed. You see, Chico, you were wondering what was going to happen with Deontay Johnson. He is currently the third wide receiver on the depth chart.
Yeah, watch him find the way to screw that up, too.
Yeah. Being in Cleveland, he probably will.
Cleveland, he just might have job security if he's in Cleveland.
Njoku, of course, is the tight end, and as far as the defense is concerned, you have Myles Garrett, of course, and Mason Graham, the rookie, is also leading on the depth chart, as is Carson Schwesinger, the linebacker, another rookie, and of course, you also have Denzel Ward and Grant Delpit, Martin Emerson Jr., names that you've probably heard of. That's on the Browns side, and
I have the Giants, if you don't mind, Ian, if that's okay.
You want to do the Giants?
I'll do the Giants and then the Jets, too, okay?
Yes, I haven't gotten to the Vikings yet, but I'll let you go first.
Okay, thank you. What, do you want to do the Vikings, too? I can wait. Sure.
Oh,
go for it.
Sure, I will.
Thank you. Yeah. There we go.
There's Paul Allen's team. They signed Will Freeze and Ryan Kelly from Indianapolis, and they're right on top of the depth chart. And they also signed Jonathan Allen, formerly of the Commanders, and Javon Hargrave, formerly of the 49ers, and they are leading the depth chart as well. JJ is the number one quarterback, and you also have Aaron Jones at running back, and Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and Jalen Naylor are 1-2-3 on the wide receivers. Number one in their positions on the depth chart. TJ Hawkinson at tight end, and CJ Ham at fullback as needed. And Donovan Jackson, the rookie out of Ohio State, is the number one position at left guard. And the Vikings defense, in addition to additions in Allen and Hargrave, you also have Harrison Phillips, John Reiner, Ivan Pace Jr., Blake Cashman, Andrew Van Ginkle, and as well as Harry the Hitman is back again at free safety, Isaiah Rogers, Josh Metellus, and others. So that's basically what the Vikings depth chart looks like right now. And you want to go with the Giants and Jets, Jay, right now?
I will. So, Russell's going to cook on the New York Giants depth chart. He's QB1. Jameis Winston is QB2. You know, honestly, if I'm a Giant fan, I'd flip that, really. Would you, or are you not sure?
You want to ask my opinion on that?
Yeah.
I think it's okay, but then again, I may be biased against the Giants.
Mm-hmm. The number one is Tyrone Tracy. You got Malik Nabers and Wandale Robinson. Harris Slayton, Theo Johnson, Andrew Thomas. Abdul Carter is the number one starter behind, and Kayvon Thibodeau. I mean, the Giants defense looks pretty good, but, you know. Now, in the New York Jets depth chart, we already have QB1, and that is Justin Fields, who was injured. He's number one. They said he's the number one starter. He's been named the starter for opening day, no matter what. Okay? But I have to tell you, you want to see a bad QB depth chart at the Jets? Okay? Try this. Justin Fields, Tyrod Taylor, Adrian Martinez, and Brady Cook.
Oh, God. That is horrible. It's basically okay. Gladys Knight and the Pips at New York.
I mean, mean, they got a good lineup. Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, Josh Reynolds, Alan Lazard. That's a good crew, you know?
Indeed it is. But, you know, there's just a matter of the backups. What the backups are going to do.
Right.
Okay.
So, let's for our good friend Carl Chenier, who is not here right now.
I got
let's
this.
Got the Saints?
I got the Saints. And really, the only pickup in free agency is Chase Young, a former defensive lineman from the 49ers.
And Washington, too, I believe.
I believe you are correct. But right now, their QB1 in New Orleans is Tyler Shough. He's over Spencer Rattler and injured Jake Haener and Hunter Deckers. Alvin Kamara is the running back over Kendre Miller, Devin Neal, and Cam Akers. In the wideouts, you have Olave. Chris Olave over Bub Means, Dante Pettis, and Bucci. Now you're just making shit up. And also, we have Rashid Shaheed over Kevin Austin Jr., Mason Tipton and Chris Tyree, and Brandon Cooks over Cedric Wilson Jr., and DPJ Donovan Peoples-Jones. Tight end one, probably the only tight end for a while, because Juwan Johnson is over a banged-up Taysom Hill, a banged-up Foster Moreau, and Jack Stoll. Who that guy be?
Can I actually go to your team for a sec?
Okay.
So you got Bryce Young starting. You only have three quarterbacks right now: Andy Dalton and Jack Plummer.
Yes.
And you got Chuba Hubbard, Adam Thielen, Xavier Leggett, and Tetuolo McMillan.
Yes.
As your wideout, and your kicker is Matthew Wright. Are you looking at another rebuilding year, really? Because it doesn't look like you guys are going to do very well.
Well, it all depends on what our defense is doing. And right now, J.C. Horn is one of the top, if not the top, defensive player salary-wise. And you know what they say, if you get paid good, you play good. But yeah, I'm just looking at all this stuff, thinking to myself, I'm not going to get my hopes up that much. If we manage to squeeze out a few quality wins, I'm going to be happy, especially given all of the potential we have here. We've seen Bryce Young ever since he came back from that week hiatus, he's been taking himself a little more seriously. He's been showing in his game. Now he has to get on the same level as Chuba and Thielen and X-Man. I think it's possible. I think we're in a good spot right now.
Do you have your WLTI from decisions?
Are you kidding me?
Done decision.
No. I was talking about the other one.
Ah.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb. Dumb
decisions. You're so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Okay. This is, I'm trying to be apolitical on this. Okay. No, seriously, I am. Okay. One of the things in the distraction of the week file was that there are rumors that the Washington Commanders are trying to build a new stadium in D.C. proper. But according to the President of the United States, one of the conditions of that is, and I believe you've heard this news report, is that the name goes back to, and I have to say it, the Washington Redskins. Right? Now, all joke, I know, I really want you to discuss this without any political thing. This has no chance, right? Zero.
No chance at all. I mean,
that's what I
think. I think we all know, and I'm going to be as apolitical as Jay's trying to be out of deference for Jason Block. But the president has a very long and storied history of being malleable.
Right, exactly. And what I'm just saying is, I think actually, I mean, look, is there a population that wants the Redskins' name back? Yes, they do. Okay. However,
but that population doesn't make the football team money.
Correct. And since Dan Snyder has left, the Washington Commanders are actually a decent football team.
Yes.
Who knew? Okay. And the fact is that the Commanders, in my personal opinion, are one of the top three teams in the NFC right now. Boom. You're gonna say, what are your top three teams right now? In no particular order, Lions, Eagles, Commanders. That's it. Those are my top three.
You know what? Given that order actually makes sense. I see the Lions.
Because in the words of Ric Flair, to be the man, you got to beat the man. The Eagles are number one until they're dethroned. You can say it, but it's true.
All right.
But I need some Shane McMahon right now.
Here comes the money.
Here we go. Money talks.
Here comes the money. Money.
Dollar. Well, someone got paid. And he is T.J. Watt, okay? He just signed a three-year, $123 million contract with the Pittsburgh Steelers to become, and I quote, the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL with 108 of that guaranteed.
For the next 3 years.
Sorry?
For the next 3 years.
Yep.
And that's not including the $40 million signing.
No, that includes the signing, I believe.
Oh, okay.
I believe. Hold on. Let me look. Signing bonus was one. He's got a $40 million signing bonus, $1,800 million guaranteed. Good Lord. Wow.
In other words, T.J. Watt is making money, quite a lot of money.
And put it to you this way, he's buying dinner for the brothers. He's paying for the Subway.
Yes.
Ian, you're in that division. What does that do for the Steelers? It solidifies a lot of things, no?
Yes, indeed. It keeps their defense relevant, very much so. And so other quarterbacks like Lamar Jacksons and the Joe Burrows and whoever's quarterbacking the Browns had better beware, because TJ Watt's going to be around for quite a while.
If I may be bold, I think he's better than JJ. I really do. Not monetarily, I think he's a better player. Watch him work. I mean, JJ in his prime was a mean bastard. Don't get me wrong. You know? But that's pretty cool. But speaking of the Steelers, this is a funny story.
You want to talk about choosing your battles? Because we have a Steelers legend on one side, and we have the newest Steeler on the other.
So, in an interview with a radio station in Arkansas, he was asked, what about Aaron Rodgers? He goes, Steelers' interest in Rodgers was a joke. What are you going to do, bring him in for a year? Are you kidding me? That guy needs to stay in California, go somewhere and chew on bark and whisper to the gods out there. Nice! And then, of course, Aaron Rodgers actually was pretty classy about this.
Surprisingly.
Terry's a legend. He's an absolute legend. He won 4 Super Bowls. He's had a legendary career in the media. But Terry, like a lot of people, don't know me. Doesn't know me. He's got an idea of what he thinks about me based on what I've done. The documentary, what I've said, Darkness Retreat, whatever the hell you want to talk about. He says, I'd love to get to know Terry on a deeper level, and I feel like if he gave me a chance to get to know him, then we have a good friendship, because for me, I have nothing but the utmost respect and deference for what the greats have done for me, because they laid the foundation for us to be able to play in this great game. Maybe we can go chew some bark or whatever the hell he's talking about together. Good for, you know what? Good for Aaron. That was classic. Because you know that if he basically said, oh, you know, Bradshaw's a senile old dude, he'd be out.
Yep. Of course, where did he make, yeah, all of this is classy and whatnot. Who did he talk about all of this to? His best friend, Pat McAfee.
I mean, his side piece. Anyway, Juan Soto may be injured. Anyway, we have another Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
So J.C. Treader and Lloyd Powell have stepped down from the NFL Association. Okay.
Yes.
Now, but the reason why did?
Okay.
He tried to expense the union for titties.
I was leading up to that, but yeah. Now that you know how we got, now that you know where we are, here's how we got there. Lloyd Howell Jr., executive director of the NFLPA, said in a statement, it's clear that my leadership has become a distraction to the important work the NFLPA advances every day. For this reason, I have informed the NFLPA Executive Committee that I am stepping down as Executive Director of the NFLPA and Chairman of the Board of the NFL Players, effective immediately. I hope this will allow the NFLPA to maintain its focus on its player members ahead of the upcoming season. Of course, the NFLPA has no comment. And why would they? After all, well, he's leveraged his position for tits.
Well, not exactly, that's the amuse-bouche, actually. There is some serious hanky-panky going around. I'll tell you in a sec. But what he did was is that he billed them because he went to a place, I don't know if you've ever been to this establishment, called Tootsie's Cabaret in Miami.
Never heard of it.
Okay. And even if you've been there, never heard of it. Anyway, supposedly he racked up $2,426 in charges, which including cash withdrawals from an ATM between $200 and $525 in singles. Anyway,
he's trying to get his money's worth in the champagne room. That's what he's trying to do.
Exactly, right. But in all seriousness, alongside his commitments to the NFLPA, he also held a part-time consultancy with the Carlyle Group, which has approved to pursue minority ownership in NFL franchises, which has been viewed a conflict of interest. And he decided to keep NFL players in the dark over an arbitration ruling on collusion between owners. Yipe. Okay. So it's not just the boobs. He really did do some shady shit.
Yeah.
Allegedly shady.
He's basically
shit.
He has put himself in a position where he might have had to have played both sides against the middle.
Yeah. So we will see where that goes from there. But we need to talk about the UFL.
The UFL. Yep. Who here remembers the name of the four USFL conference teams of the UFL?
Yeah, I think I remember.
Okay.
Go for it.
They were the Michigan Panthers, the Memphis Showboats.
Got that. That's two.
Houston Roughnecks.
That's three.
And the Birmingham Stallions.
That's four.
Whoa! Good for you! Good for you! You are the only person... Tell him what he's won, Johnny. Anyway.
Sweet nothing!
Credibility! I'll take it.
And respect. Yeah. Okay, but go on.
Okay, so in advance of the 2026 season, the UFL has decided to blow up the USFL conference. According to... because...
Here comes the money!
Here we go!
Oh!
Okay. For multiple sources to James Larson, USFL markets in Michigan, Houston, Birmingham, and Memphis all being relocated in the interim. The four new UFL markets will be Boise, Idaho, Columbus, Ohio, Florida, likely Orlando, and Kentucky. Likely Louisville and Lexington.
You know that we haven't had a New York NFL team, I mean USFL team or whatever, in forever.
You haven't had a New York, New Jersey USFL team since some guy wanted to put his generals up against the NFL. Not important what happened to him, but yeah, that was likely a
done decision.
Yeah. So that's where we are. This is now, it's been reported that league-wide interest is down, ratings are down, and attendance is down. Although, some of the, was it Michigan who had an uptick in attendance, or was it Birmingham?
Oh, no.
But in any case, they're basically moving everything around to maximize the ROI, I guess.
Does anybody care? Is anybody there? I mean, really? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. Okay, so that's where we are with that.
Except for one final thing.
What's that?
And we're actually... And can't believe this, but Thursday is football. Sort of.
Yeah. Thursday is the first football Thursday since... Gosh, January, I want to say. So, we are going to be blessed with the Hall of Fame game between the Los Angeles Chargers and the Detroit Lions. My guess is they are going to start the B squad on both teams. Just to see.
Well, I'm looking at it right now.
Just to see who gets the backup position to the real players.
Well, we got Trey Lance starting. We got Trey Lance starting for the Chargers. Which actually isn't a bad idea because, remember, he's not a bad QB. He just hasn't had to found his place yet.
Yep.
Hello?
Yep, I agree. I agree.
Question. I mean, supposedly, and also the Detroit top two draft picks are not expected to play. So this is the who the fuck are you games, right? Pretty much.
Basically... I don't even know if the Lions have named a starter yet.
Right. And I believe this is also the induction ceremony, right?
You are correct, sir. Again, the Hall of Fame class: Antonio Gates, Eric Allen, Jared Allen, and Sterling Sharp. They will receive their gold jackets.
Oh, we forgot about him.
Sterling Sharp.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Oh, right, right. Okay. By the way, the Hall of Fame.
Oh, God.
I apologize, Shannon. I really do.
No, you don't.
NBC is covering the game with Mike Tirico, Chris Collinsworth, and Melissa Stark.
Yep, and that...
It'll be on NBC.
And they're going to be broadcasting the Super Bowl, so they'll have the distinction of broadcasting the first football game of the NFL season, albeit preseason, and the last game of the season.
And get ready for your jump scares, boys, because that's probably going to start with a new graphics package.
Oh?
They always...
This year, like...
Because
they
always
season or the Super Bowl?
The season, the NBC season. You know, they'll do the whole NBC Sports, home of Super Bowl 60, welcomes you to the following presentation of the National
Football
League. And you know, they're gonna do. Oh well, thanks. I've been practicing. You know, they're gonna do that whole jump scare 8K. In-your-face graphic package for those 20 seconds. You're going to be like, hold me.
Oh, and by the way, there is another story that I believe you forgot to mention.
Oh, there's several stories. I put them right below the program in our chat this morning, Jay. But yeah, let's talk about those stories right now.
Well, okay. Well, I was also thinking... ESPN is rumored to have completed the deal for Red Zone.
I'm looking at that right now. Okay. All right. According to Sports Illustrated, they are close to acquiring NFL Network and NFL Red Zone. According to a report from The Athletic, the deal is, and now I'm quoting, the closest it's ever been. If completed, ESPN plans to boast the new package as part of its next era branding as the network launches a new direct-to-consumer streaming product this fall. The deal also comes with the first Super Bowl broadcast on the horizon in 2027. So, something we are going to follow there.
Do you have a, either the Dragnet or something Law and Order related?
Ian, do you have one?
I'll just
slip it in the post.
Hold on, 5 seconds, okay?
Okay.
So, 2 weeks ago, Rashi Rice gone to jail. For his role in a multi-car crash last year. He's got 30 days, 5 years probation, and then the NFL is going to suspend him. How long do you think they're going to get? They're saying first six games.
Okay, so... If they were of any sort of scruple, he wouldn't play it down while he's on probation. That's 5 years, if he's lucky. If they had some sort of scruple. But the Chiefs being the Chiefs, you know they're going to find a way to get him back on the field as soon as possible. So, 6 games sounds about right. Now, he is participating in training camp.
He hasn't gone to jail yet?
I don't know if he's gone to jail, but I know he's participating in training camp. He might be late, but I'll be there. according to the AP, Chiefs coach Andy Reid said Rashee Rice will be a full participant in training camp. Whether he will be able to fully participate in the regular season remains to be seen. And Andy Reid says,
We're going to progress. There's more of them. They'll go in, take all the reps that will normally take. We'll always rotate that position, depending on what happens with the future. Whoever needs to play will step in and know what they're doing and be in good shape to do it.
So that's where we are with Rashee Rice.
Right. Best wishes go out to Deion Sanders. He admitted that he had tumor removal surgery for bladder cancer. And let's just say I have very close personal knowledge to that. So I am not going to say anything except, and he says he's cancer free. So I just wish him the best of luck.
Okay. Meanwhile, all eyes are going to be on Chapel Hill, apparently. Gee, are they going to do? Wonder why? Probably because they sold out all the tickets. Because guess what? ESPN wants to show every single chance they get.
Bill Belichick and his hot girlfriend.
Ding, 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 ding. Oh my god. I can't even joke about that. Oh my gosh.
It's true.
It is.
No, put it to you this way. UNC football will be on prime time as much as they can make it. Yep. If they're legit good, they'll be on, like, you know, the kickoff at 12 noon, you know, Saturday nights on ABC or ESPN, you know.
Yep. Of course, they're going to have game day on opening weekend prior to their game against TCU with Matt Barry, Teddy Bruschi, Desmond Howard, Pat Wifebeater, Nick Saban, and Pete Thamel.
Pat Wifebeater? Oh, Pat McAfee. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you get it.
I get it now.
By the way, kickoff for that is 8 p.m. Labor Day Monday. Now can we talk about the other Sharp, Jay?
Oh, yes, please. Yeah, so Shannon Sharp has settled his lawsuit, or the lawsuit against him, where he was accused of sexually assaulting a woman. And it's going to be dismissed with prejudice. The lawsuit had sought $50 million. Do you think money was exchanged if it was just done with prejudice?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, here's the thing. It's the lawsuit will be dismissed with prejudice, which means it can never be brought up in a court of law again. The plaintiff cannot refile the same claim against Sharp in Las Vegas court.
I don't know, Davey.
Yeah. Now, the plaintiff, an OF model of anonymous persuasion, was seeking $50 million. I don't believe she's getting $50 million. I don't believe she's getting $5 million. Do we have?
I believe she may be getting six figures, maybe.
Let's just say I have an article here from Black Enterprise, and the headline reads, oh, jeez. Shannon Sharp accuser quits OnlyFans one day after settlement seemingly retires her.
Well, I'm not going to say anything more than that. Nope. I'm doing the Shannon Sharp head shake. Nope. We're just gonna move on. We're just gonna move on and sell some soap. Chico.
Yes.
You and I have a secret interview tomorrow night.
Yes,
we're not
gonna
promote it just yet.
Yes, we do. And it is part of the 500th episode of We Love to Interrupt, which is continuing to a part two. So episode 501 will be 500 part two.
And we're also going to talk about another bad gameplay episode on Big Brother.
And Jeopardy season ends with a shock.
Yes, with a shock and a bang. And we have five good questions, right? We're going to talk about Jeopardy.
Yes,
right?
We are. So all of that is coming this week on We Love to Interrupt. And
over on the NAWC, it is SummerSlam weekend. And that also coincides with the release of a very interesting a docuseries called WWE Unreal, which we're in the middle of, my father and I. The reason why it's interesting is not necessarily filmed by the WWE. It was filmed by Omaha Productions, NFL, and NFL Films. So it's kind of like Hard Knocks for the WWE.
That sounds interesting.
You know what? Even if you're a casual wrestling fan, check it out. Would. Really would. It's interesting, to say the least.
Speaking of interesting, Ian, with the Pigston Post, of course he's in a bit of a holding pattern, this being the off season and whatnot, but he will be back with all of the action, both local, regional, national, and of interest on his Pigskin posts. Ain't that right, Ian?
Yes, indeed. It'll be this August. It'll be back to Tuesdays and Thursdays. And during the off-season, I have published three off-season posts. The most recent one goes over the changing of addresses for certain players, as well as retirements and rules changes for the NFL, ditto for rules changes in college, as well as conference adjustments on the move. And also there is conference turnover in high school football here in Northeast Ohio on the west side. Not much there, but one that happened recently, as well as the help wanted there. There hasn't been much action on the coaching hot stove as far as West Side football programs go, but there was one in Lorain County recently. Longtime Clearview head coach Mike Collier retired for personal reasons, and they recently hired his successor, and I'll be talking about that in the next Pigskin post, which is the first regularly scheduled post of the 2025 season. And the first one, I always go over what the segments are all about, basically, before getting into the meat of it, which happens dynamically as the season progresses. I go over that stuff. You pretty much know it by now. I put it on my Facebook page and share it with the BS group, and don't know if we're going to be doing any more between now and the draft, but when we do the fantasy draft, I think it's most likely going to happen when I am traveling. It's going to be Labor Day weekend, most likely. I plan to be in the Northwoods of Wisconsin by then and having a little family reunion cribbage tournament get-together with some relatives, and who knows? I might try to do something and trying to contribute from there. I haven't worked out all the details yet, but something will come about. I'll be back whenever.
So keep your eyes on this frequency for more information on that, especially about the draft, because it's like Ian's going to be on the road.
I'm going to
be on the road. I don't know if Jay's going to be on the road, but he might be. You never can tell with that guy. He's a troublemaker.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Never mind. Anyway, Over Edit was a thing on TV. A couple days ago, a new squared circle time machine dropped with WWE SmackDown from July 25th, 2002. With Stephanie's first episode as SmackDown GM. And the debut of Rey Mysterio, if you remember that far back.
Right.
Yeah, we also have the Couch Potato Workout with Larry Bud Melman. Later this week, we'll have a best of, but we're not going to tell you what it is. We're going to let that be a surprise. It is over at itwasathingontv.com, the home of the It Was a Thing on TV podcast network. Jason, anything else?
No, I think we can go home.
All right. I'm going to let Jason get to his fans. Sorry, I'm thinking of something else. You don't need to know what I'm thinking of. Anyway, Hall of Fame game Thursday. We will talk about it and more bits, bites, news, and other stuff here on the BS Big Show. For Ian McClendon, for Jason Block, I'm Chico Alexander. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. Enjoy the football.